Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And we're here with Robert Elam, Chief Business Development Officer at Career Management Partners. He's in Houston, Texas. Bob, thanks, and welcome to the show.
David, it's a pleasure to be here. Actually, I'm in Dallas today, but I was in Houston last week.
Well, that's great. I know your office, you actually have two offices in Dallas and Houston, correct?
That is correct.
No, that's awesome. Bob, you've been doing a lot of work with talent management over the years. Tell me a little bit about your career and how you got to where you are today.
Well, actually, my career started with University of Nebraska. Upon graduation, I went to work with a company by the name of Babcock & Wilcox in Irvine, California. I wanted to get into human resources management. At the time, they referred to it as personnel management. And so I worked for a valve manufacturing company there in HR at the time, and they eventually went with their research and development division in Alliance, Ohio, as their employment manager. And fast forward, I eventually joined a company by the name of Cooper Industries in Houston, Texas, as their director of staffing. And it was during that period of time with Cooper that I actually became exposed to working with executive search firms as well as outplacement firms and other types of human resource consulting firms. And I decided, you know, I really would like to get out of the corporate world and move into consulting with the intent of eventually opening up my own business. And so I joined Korn Ferry International in Houston on their energy practice side to kind of get a perspective of the executive search business. And so eventually I did open up my own firm back in the, I guess, mid to late 80s. That shows you how old I am.
Oh, not that old.
And was able to work with that firm for a period of time, and I got exposed to the outplacement business on the consulting side with a company by the name of King, Chapman, Broussard & Gallagher, which I worked with for approximately 3 years, and they asked me to head up their office in Dallas, Texas, and I moved here to the Dallas area in 1995 and worked with King Chapman for a period of time. Eventually, that company was sold, and I then gravitated back into my own business, and back in the early 2000 time frame, got hooked up with another top retained search firm by the name of DHR International, and I was their managing director for a period of time, and worked with a diverse group of clients. In circa 2009, I elected to join Career Management Partners, had an opportunity to work with Keith Nave, who's the CEO of our company, and I was really impressed with the quality of the firm, the integrity of the firm, the fact that they are part of Lincolnshire International. And so all the reasons were the right reasons, and frankly, going into the outplacement business again and working with employees that are going through a displacement process was an area of interest of mine going back to the days of when I was a psychology major at University of Nebraska. So getting involved in the consultation, the counseling piece of it really was of interest to me. About 2 years ago, our firm decided to branch out into other areas of expertise. We developed an executive performance coaching division as well as a retained executive search and talent acquisition unit by the name of Remington Search Partners. So in addition to my role as Chief Development Officer, I head up the Remington Search Partners unit, and it's a separate unit altogether. And so it's given me a chance to working with this firm to really get involved in all areas of talent management, from executive coaching to executive outplacement to executive search and talent acquisition. And enough of my pontification, but that's kind of where I'm at today.
Well, you know, certainly one of the things I think that would be interesting for listeners out there is on the executive search side. You know, people may not understand exactly what executive search is and why its value is to a company or an organization. Sometimes I know that we we talk to companies and they say, you know, why would I pay to retain somebody to find a person out there when, my gosh, you know, the unemployment's so high and there's plenty of talent out there? What is the value proposition of a, you know, of an executive search firm?
Well, I think that's a great question, one that I field quite frequently when I'm talking with prospective clients. You know, why use a retained executive search firm? Well, there actually are a number of reasons, but I think there are really six or seven primary ones. When traditional methods recruiting executives or other key staff members don't work, and when I say traditional method, I'm talking about, you know, an employer through their human resources function could run ads, they could run job postings on a variety of venues, they could use word-of-mouth referrals, et cetera. At that point in time, if they're not getting the results, that's when they think, okay, what are some other options out there? And one of the options, of course, is using a retained search firm. And the reason for that, I think, the primary reason is that, you know, recruiting is hard work. It's very labor-intensive. You know, if a client's looking for a unique mixture of characteristics and skills for a particular position, they really need to have some kind of a process to be able to identify those particular executives that they're trying to recruit. So I think that the fact, number one, the recruiting, it's really difficult work. It's very methodical, very labor-intensive, as I said. And secondly, you know, you're really looking for a reliable method to get results. You can run all the ads in the world, and you can, you know, go to various types of. There are some very fine employment agencies out there that use resumes that they have in their database. But frankly, using a search firm, you will be able to get fresh, what we call fresh research, fresh candidates, going into you know, using their methodology to tap into what we call the hidden job market. This is a process where an executive search firm will practically seek out executives who are basically satisfied in their current job, but they're not actively looking for a new position. And one of the things that we talk about in our outplacement part of the business is that individuals need to be able to expose themselves to tap into the process of being able to promote themselves through the hidden candidate market, as we call it. Also, we like to think, I think a fourth reason why a firm or an organization would want to use an executive search firm is that think of it as an extension of your in-house recruiting resources. I know that your target or a lot of your population that's listening in right now are human resources executives, and we like to think that we could relieve the burden on your human resources department in providing a special expertise that may not be available internally. The other reason I think you want to look at is your competitors. An executive search firm can explore all possible candidates within a client's industry, especially those who would be working for competitors. I think another part of this aspect of why you would want to use a search firm is the confidentiality and the third-party objectivity. Using a search firm such as ours provides confidentiality for the client if the organization does not wish to identify themselves or be revealed. Not that they're trying to hide anything, but in many cases, it's good to be able to go to a third-party firm that can actually go out and source and identify prospective candidates that are in the executive market or executive level positions. And finally, due diligence. Our firm and other reputable search firms that have the resources to provide the ability to go in and verify college degrees and conduct professional references throughout the vetting process to ensure that the client is getting the best quality candidate that they can find. So I think those are all really, you know, seven key value adds why an organization would want to take a look at a particular use of a search firm.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of what you talk about we certainly use with our firm up here. And one of the things that I would say is that companies sometimes ask us, how are you going to really understand the culture of our firm being from the outside and be able to match a culture to a candidate when you're not internally with the organization itself? And we certainly have the answers, but I'd be interested in hearing your perspective on that, since culture today and, quote, fit is huge.
I think that's a great question, and in fact, one that we are asked to really respond to, both for nonprofit and also profit, for-profit organizations. We recently had an opportunity to propose on a on a chief operational type executive officer position with a not-for-profit organization based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. One of the things that they were really concerned about is the area of cultural compatibility. The previous incumbent that had been in the role, you know, it was brought into the organization. They thought that this particular individual was going to be a really good, compatible fit, but ultimately was not. And it just didn't fit the particular culture. What our firm does is we use a couple of different methodologies. Number one, we use a method called the Berkman Assessment. Now, the Berkman Assessment is a tool that we use to be able to identify within a particular executive throughout our selection process what their capabilities are, what their relational components are, how they relate to people in the workplace, how do they work with well with let's say with people outside the workplace, you know, vendors, other executives, how they work with their peer groups, within their reporting relationships, their superiors, and what have you. By being able to map out this individual's assessment criteria, we can ensure that it's compatible with the goals and the needs of the organization that we're actually doing the search for. Another way that we also try to tap into the culture piece of it is we want to make sure that we interview all the key principals within the corporation that's actually retaining our services to make sure that everyone is in line with what are the key criteria that's going to help find the right executive, the requirements. We want to make sure that we're properly aligned with what their goals and objectives are within the organization. So it's really a series of interviews and using the Berkman methodology assessment tool that we like to think that that's how we were able to capture the culture of the organization.
Yeah, we do find that when we're interviewing, you know, key stakeholders for somebody's position, that there's what the job description says, and then there's the other things that are important. And those are the things that you can't really necessarily, you know, write down or say, but are critical to making sure that the person really understands the culture, or have us understand the culture, and actually be able to give that information to the candidate so that they can be prepared for that environment if it's right for them.
Yeah, precisely. And using these types of methodologies, we can determine if there are going to be differences that we need to watch between the hiring manager and between the candidates that are being considered for employment. By what I'm saying here, we want to make sure that we avoid any type of personality conflicts, any types of processes, behaviorally that's going to, you know, create havoc within the organization. I think it's very key, because many times an individual can go into an interview process and be prepped for that process. And I'm not saying that everyone's an actor out there, but they can act the part, talk the talk, walk the walk. Once they're hired, then these behavioral types of problems start occurring. And that's why it's very important throughout the vetting process, the selection process, through a search firm, through a reputable firm, the consultant can be able to really go through and assess, you know, an individual's capabilities.
And we're talking with Robert Elam, Chief Business Development Officer at Career Management Partners, and we'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Is it time for you to own your own business? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, is assigning franchises with protected territories across America at an affordable cost. Visiting Angels franchises send experienced caregivers to non-medical home care to thousands of adults nationwide, so they won't have to move into a nursing home. Call Visiting Angels toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. Look us up on the web at www.livingassistance.com. You'll receive initial training and years of ongoing guidance, including teleconference training workshops. Thousands of home care client leads are distributed to franchisees each month from national advertising on the internet and radio. Speak to our 300 franchisees to learn how this senior home care franchise has changed their lives. Call Visiting Angels toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. Look us up on the web at www.livingassistance.com. For a Visiting Angels franchise or home care for a loved one, call 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels toll-free at 877-374-LIVE, L-I-V-E.
There are two FireWise communities in Maine who have taken steps and committed to reducing the risk of wildfire near homes. Homeowners have worked with their local fire departments and used the Maine Forest Service Defensible Space Chipping Program to eliminate brush and down limbs near homes. If your community is interested in becoming FireWise, please contact us at www.maineforestservice.gov. That's www.maineforestservice.gov. Funding provided through FEMA's Fire Prevention and Safety Grant.
Hey y'all, this is Stephen Cochran. As a country artist, I have traveled around this great country of ours, often meeting our brave men and women in uniform. And as a Marine and veteran of both the Iraq and Afghan conflict, I know how important it is to thank our troops who defend our freedom each and every day. One of the best ways to thank them is to give their children and spouses the gift of education. Scholarships for 2 years, 4 years, and vocational school. This is exactly what a national charity, Thanks USA, does. Please go to their website, www.thanksusa.org, to make a generous donation to the Thanks USA Scholarship Fund for the families of the troops, and I thank you.
And we're back with Robert Elam. Robert, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Certainly my pleasure, David.
I said us. That's because I want to congratulate Debbie Davis, who's our producer. She does a great job here at the studio. And so I want to make sure that I congratulate her today. Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you, David.
All right. So, Bob, you know, one of the things that we're talking about today is recruiting and search. And so tell me, what are some of the trends that are happening out there? Is it local? Is it regional? What do you got for trend information?
I think if we take it on a national basis, the search business, quite frankly, has been in a slump since 2008, and it's very similar to the period of time from the 2000 to 2004 time frame. And what we have found over the past 4 to 5 years, there has been a trend for corporations to insource their staffing, their talent acquisition department, primarily to curtail search firm and employment agency fee costs. And what that has entailed is because the search business has been somewhat, as I refer to, in a slump, corporations have actually gone out and hired former search practitioners, consultants from the research department and also from their from the consulting department to really basically set up a staffing function and bring the search business in-house, so to speak.
Well, we've certainly seen that, you know, from the aspect of search firms, there are fewer. And that's certainly a product of the economy. And I certainly think that some companies thought that not only could they save money, but they'd be able to get a great talent professional inside.
Exactly. And I think, you know, having said that, over the past two quarters, we've been seeing an increase in the number of assignments that are going into outside search firms, particularly. Just if you take a look at the various industrial sectors and across the nation, we're seeing that C-level executives that are both great technically and they have a proven track record in leadership are in short supply, and companies are very interested in identifying those individuals. In certain sectors like the industrial sector, manufacturing sector, many companies are dealing with some very serious succession issues in the C-suite. Therefore, they're focusing on trying to tap into top talent externally, but they're also interested in retaining those executives that are currently in place. So it's kind of a dual-edged sword, if you will. If you look at the financial services sector, there's been a pickup in selective hiring in financial services really since the beginning of the year, particularly in the area of retail banking, financial technology, wealth management, risk and compliance. There's been some more activity in that particular area. Having said that, there's still some real issues in across the board in banking because of a lot of the restructuring and a lot of the issues that have occurred there. Energy is really booming, particularly in the Houston market. And one of the things I was going to mention earlier, that the from a regional perspective, Texas has really been expanding both in jobs and both the economy. And there's been a, you know, I think a couple of primary reasons here is that the economy has a pretty strong energy, technology, manufacturing base. I was having lunch last week in Houston with the vice president of human resources for a energy solutions provider. They're not in oil and gas, but they manufacture a product that helps the oil and gas business become a little bit more efficient. This individual's company, David, started in 2011. They are now over $1 billion in sales, and they have over 3,000 employees. And what I think is really is captivating here in this particular region, this part of the world, is the fact there's a very strong independent spirit, a very strong entrepreneurially driven type of spirit. That's why we're seeing a lot of these shifts in population down to Texas. So enough of me promoting Texas. I'm just saying that's what we're finding in the energy sector.
Well, you know, it brings up a good point, though, and we talk about it a lot, that the fact that there are still jobs out there, are still people hiring. It may require individuals to either move or go to where the business is or go to where the jobs are, or acquire skills that get them into a different level or different position to get educated if necessary. But there are jobs.
Definitely. And what we're seeing, for example, to your point about that, is in the technology sector, for example, the telecommunications industry is still having some problems. We're still seeing reduction in forces in Texas and in that area. However, we're seeing an explosion of demand for mobile devices and for mobile computing, and really kind of a shift towards consumer enterprises. And it's really heated up a demand for technologists and executives who can manage, you know, the change that's going to be inherent in this type of a process. You know, many of the United States, European technology, infrastructure, telecommunication companies are still, as I say, they're still having some difficulty there, but they're moving purely from infrastructure businesses towards more of a managed services, outsourcing, professional services approach. So technology, consumer retail, and I'm looking at some information from some of the major research reports out here, is that there's been a number of CEO leadership changes within the retail sector. In life sciences, we're seeing an increase, kind of an uplift there. Human resources executives, for example, in HR, that have a truly global experience and a track record of working in regions outside of their home base, they're being heavily recruited. And even in the real estate sector, we're seeing C-level hires have been dominated by management with strong operational backgrounds. So it's interesting what's happening if you go region by region and by industrial sector.
Now, and I think as we continue to talk about the economy and the changes in the economy, people have to adapt. And I think that, you know, we're talking about search. C-suite level positions are critical strategic positions for the organization. And these are areas and individuals that need to be brought in from maybe direct competitors, which make it a little bit difficult for companies to go out and talk to them directly. So I think that, you know, that you talked about that in your top seven reasons of why to use an executive search firm. But I think that that's a key area for people to think about. You know, it's okay if they can get information on LinkedIn or get information about different people. But to be able to actually call in without creating any problems from a competition standpoint is a key element.
It really is. And one of the things that we're coaching, I know in our outplacement division, we're coaching our executives that are going through a career transition, is that you've got to be able to re-engineer yourself. Get back and get the MBA, find out a way to get some exposure, experience in working in other areas outside of just, say, your own world, so to speak. So we're seeing people in finance and accounting moving out, let's say, in operations, after and going back to get their MBA, getting their project management certification, getting their Six Sigma certification. So I think re-engineering themselves to really fit the marketplace out there is very key. And to your point about using a search firm to objectively go out and find these individuals, and selectively, it's a great venue as opposed to creating a problem if you're going directly into your competitors. You know, what if one of your divisions happens to have a joint venture? So that's why I think it's important. One of the reasons that I think that the search business is coming back, particularly when you're seeing a need for C-level executives that can manage change, that are technologically savvy.
Robert, I got to tell you, I enjoyed talking with you today, and I appreciate you being on the show. I'm looking forward to getting down there in Dallas, and I think it's October, and seeing you, so that will be a lot of fun.
Well, very good, David. Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back.